Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
And we're talking about how Muslims during the month of Ramadan are actually finding Jesus Christ, which is so encouraging. This is a time, this year, it starts June 28th and goes through July 27th, and it's a time where they fast during this month and they kind of consecrate themselves to you know, their worship of their God. But as they're fasting, many of them are having dreams, they're having all kinds of visions, and Jesus is showing up, you know, to them, and they're finding him. And so we want to encourage you during this month to stand right now. I mean, a lot of times, listen, you know, it's reported there's a 1.2 billion Muslims in the world, and that 15 to 20% of them are radical jihadists.
How many?
15 to 20% are radical.
How many?
Oh, 1.2 billion.
Oh, billion. Okay.
Wow. Yes, around the world.
Wow.
And so that gives you about 200, maybe 300 or so million of them that are doing the radical Islam. But people forget that, listen, there's a great majority of them that are not radical, many of them grew up in this religion. I mean, that was the thing with Miriam Ibrahim in Sudan. The big issue there was that they tried to say that she was a Muslim because she was born into a Muslim family.
Right.
And she said she later converted and she changed her name and all that type of stuff. But they tried to say, no, you were born a Muslim, you're going to stay a Muslim.
Right.
And it's like, well, that's interesting, you know. But so there's many of them that are searching for God, and they're trying to search God in the way that they know, but they need to come to the full realization of who Jesus Christ is, because they understand Jesus to be a prophet and they have some understanding, but they don't recognize him as the Son of God, which is everything, which is the atonement, which is the forgiveness of our sins and why he passed away and died on the cross and you know, to redeem us and to buy us back from Satan and the world and hell. I mean, Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave for us.
Right.
And they're coming. You know, they're coming, and we want to share with you a testimony. First, I want to share with you a quick testimony of a Muslim who had an encounter with God. And it basically says that in a dream or in a vision, this person had a supernatural encounter, and God came to them. And as they were actually reading the Gospels, they were reading Luke chapter 3, when the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus, they actually felt, this is what it says, they felt wind coming upon them, right? Uh-huh. And their testimony is, this is what they heard. This is my son, right? When they read, this is my son who I'm well pleased, a storm, a wind broke out in the room, and they heard this voice saying, I am Jesus Christ, whom you hate. I am the Lord whom you're looking for. He recalls, this guy saying, and he began to weep. And it's the first time that he encountered God in that way. I mean, he's reading the scriptures. He feels a wind break out. As he's reading, the Holy Spirit's descending on Jesus. The wind is breaking out in his presence. Mm-hmm. And he hears Jesus speaking to him in a voice. And he gives his life to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so many are coming to God through supernatural occurrences, because, you know, when you're fasting, you're wide open, and they're experiencing some amazing, amazing encounters. But many are coming to God just by a witness. You know, sometimes you can have all kinds of stereotypes in your mind about people just because of what you listen to on the news. And that's why it's important to listen to VFN TV and watch VFN TV as much as you can, because we try sincerely to give you a biblical perspective to the news that you're seeing on a daily basis, and we want to bring Christ and hope into that situation. But if all you're seeing of Muslims is a negative stereotype, then you're going to, as a Christian, not be open to reaching out to them.
Yeah.
You're going to write off 1.2 billion people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
1.2 billion people. And God doesn't write anyone off. He writes everybody in.
Mm-hmm.
And so if he writes them in, then we should write them in. So we want to encourage you to witness to Muslims, because God loves them. He died for them. And we want you to listen to a testimony by Dr. Ergun Kanner as he shares his encounter about how a young teenage boy refused to stop witnessing to him and just kept coming just day after day after day, talking to him about Jesus, inviting him to services, just kept on him. And he finally said, okay, I'm, you know, just to shut this guy up, I'm going to go with you. And what happened is that he had an encounter with God. I want you to watch as you're just totally encouraged.
What reached me for the gospel, it was one solitary high school boy who refused to take no for an answer. In the Western culture, in the Western civilization, Christians basically hit one shot and done. You tell somebody about Jesus, if they reject you, bye. You have to understand, in our world, for a Muslim to come to faith in Jesus Christ, to leave Islam, you lose your culture, family, job, home, sometimes your life. And the average Muslim, it takes 7 years to come to faith in Jesus. For me, it was any number of years. But one boy, from the moment he started talking to me, would not leave me alone. It didn't matter how many times I said no. He invited me to events. He invited me to special all-night things. He invited me to concerts. I said no, 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 no. I did not want contact with the kafirim, with the infidel. Finally, my senior year in high school, to show him, I walked into this little church. So one solitary boy, one tiny little storefront church, one pastor who had maybe a sixth grade elementary school education. It was always the small, the isolated, the anonymous. And if you think about it, Christianity marches on the shoulders of anonymous people who have invested their lives. I mean, any person watching, if you do a detailed analysis of your life, most of the people who radically affected you were people who the world doesn't know their names. Their names aren't on the spines of books or on the sides of buildings. They're the anonymous. And it was an anonymous boy. It was an anonymous church. It was an anonymous pastor. And it was one little people who loved me to the cross. And this is important because everything I had ever learned about Christianity, I had learned from my imam, from my masjid, from my mosque, from my leadership. Every single one of them. And every caricature that I held was based on caricatures that other people had held. The meaner I was to them, or the more sarcastic I was, or caustic I was, the nicer they were to me. I sat by myself, boom, they all come sit around me. I'm churlish, and they just smile. I was amazed at the ability of the Christian to love me in spite of me. And this is important because it's unconditional. And when I finally afterwards asked them, why are you so nice to him? Why were you so? Well, I said, that's the way Jesus loved us. Romans 5:8, for God commanded his love toward us that while we were still sinners, while we were still at war with him, while we still hated him, Christ died for us, the godly for the ungodly. That is a radical concept for somebody like me. He takes me to the pastor. The young man does. And the pastor says, what do you think about Jesus? And I said, in Isa, his name is Isa in Islam. We respect Isa. As a matter of fact, we named the 19th surah of the Quran after his mother, Surah Maryam. He said, you can't respect Jesus. It's something that I tell Muslims when they say, no, we hold him in high reverence and high respect. You cannot respect Jesus. Because Jesus declared himself to be God. Isa al-Messiah. Jesus said he was Messiah. And more than just Messiah to the Jew, but he came to die for the world. If Jesus said these things, he is not qualified to be a prophet in Islam. The people who claim to be God, and there's thousands of them throughout history that have claimed to be God, they are either diluted, or in the case of Jesus, he actually is who he says he is. But in either case, some man walking down the streets drinking alcohol, who's talking to himself, who thinks he's God, does not deserve my respect. To summarize it, he said, you either revere him as God or reject him as a fraud, but you don't have the option of just respecting him. That door opened. He asked me this question. He said, Islam teaches that Jesus wasn't crucified. Yes, Surah 4, verse 157, Isa was not crucified, but somebody else in his place. He said, why would Jesus be indicted of a crime worthy of crucifixion to begin with? Was it trumped up charges? No. Was it blasphemy? Yes. What's blasphemy? In other words, he opened the door to me about crucifixion. That when Jesus died, his death had some meaning, some hope. In every debate that I've done, in every time I've debated, Muslim, Sunni, Sufi, Alawite, Shia, every debate I've ever done, this question always comes up from the Muslim. What does one man's death have to do with me? But you see, in Islam, there is a measure of this. If I die to further Islam, I am helping my children, I am helping my family, I'm helping future generations. So my death does, in fact, resonate throughout Islam. The question I ask them is, what would Jesus' death resonate for you? In other words, if Jesus shed his blood, I don't have to. Jesus' bloodshed, Jesus' death, offers me the one thing that Islam cannot answer, and that is the screaming need for my assurance, the screaming need for forgiveness. And so Jesus Christ, according to the Bible, dies on the cross, buried, 3 days, resurrects, ascends into heaven's temple, presents his blood, and then he sits down. And so then I will ask the Muslim, why would Jesus sit down? Is he tired? And he sat down because he was done. Finished. Atonement has been offered. If I may say it this way, Jesus strapped himself to a cross so that I wouldn't have to strap a bomb to myself. I lasted 4 days in that church. After so many years of struggling, I lasted 4 days. On the fourth day, I came forward. I told the pastor, Isa bin Allah, Jesus is the Son of God. I want to be saved. I want to be born again. And that's all preacher talk for simply saying that I wanted Jesus to forgive me of my sins. I accepted his sacrifice in my life. I accepted his bloodshed for me. I repented of my sin, turned my life over to him. He is not just a messenger. He is Messiah. And he's not just the lover of my soul. He is now the Lord of my life. And in so doing, I learned that I live much more righteously when I'm not trying to earn his favor. I do so because I've already been receiving his favor. I do so because I love him like a child to his father. I do things to love him, not to earn his love.
Wow, what a powerful, powerful testimony. You were just hearing Ergun Kenner share how he came to faith in Jesus Christ. And I love what he said there. He said, Jesus strapped the cross to his back, strapped himself to the cross so that I wouldn't have to strap a bomb to my back. I'm going to say that again. He said, Jesus strapped himself to the cross so that I wouldn't have to strap a bomb to my back.
Wow.
And think about that.
That's powerful.
So powerful. And we're talking about how Muslims can be one to Jesus Christ. They know about Isa, as he said. They know Jesus as a prophet, but they don't know him as the Son of God.
Yeah, it's huge because it really changes that paradigm, like he's saying, that Muslims understand that, okay, I have to die in the name of Allah to basically forward the movement of Islam. But it's just like, but just like he said, it's just like when Jesus died, he sat down because he was done.
It's finished.
Exactly. And it's just like Jesus did it. And it's not, it's just like, I don't have to do anything to earn his love. All I have to do is just, I want to love him back and learn how to love.
Yeah. They say that one of the greatest compelling things that turn Muslims to God is the revelation of the love of God. You know, Prayer Network puts out a 30 Days Prayer Network puts out some correspondence in about Muslims about how to pray for them. This is what they say. They say that by far the reason found most compelling for the greatest number of Muslims who have turned to Christ is the power of love. Like Paul, many a believer from a Muslim background has found that the greatest of these is love. Nearly half of all Muslims who have made a shift of faith allegiance have affirmed that the love of God was critical key in their decision. See, it's about the love of God. You can't turn away the love of God.
No.
Listen, when we get back from this break, we're going to talk more about Ergun's testimony and how we can be empowered to reach the Muslims that are living right here, our neighbors. Jesus loves them. Jesus died for them, and he wants them to come into a revelation knowledge of his love.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.